Today, we'd like to see the title of the word of Christ rich in you in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 25. To a non-worthy soul through MP3 or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Question 1 and verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? Question 2. In verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What does it mean, and how can we apply it to our lives? Question 3, in verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. What does it mean in the context with other relevant words of God, and what can we learn from here? In the last time at Colossians chapter 2:23, these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Paul explained the wrong reasons for self-denial, because this glorious freedom that we have in Christ, we don't have to do outward appearance of wisdom in self-disciplines. The false humility, the neglect of a body, or avoidance of all form of indulgence, such as asceticism, looks righteous to us, but our fleshly trials to be righteous is likely filthy rags. For example, for severe self-disciplines, he went to a mountain by abandoning his wife and children, his life in the world, and so on. What a glorious freedom in Christ, doing, not doing, decently upon whatever the Spirit lead by truth, whenever and wherever. Isaiah 64 verse 6, cross-reference. In this chapter 3, Paul reasons to Colossian Christians for your life on the earth, which should be led directly or ruled by the Spirit of the flesh, in the light of Romans 8, verses 13-14. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. In water baptism, the water represents the grave. When you merged into the water, your old life or flesh was dead. When you were coming out of the water, you were raised with Christ, who sits at the right hand of God from the grave. So you should seek the things in heaven where Christ is, or spiritual things, or things on the earth, or fleshly things. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your mind on things in heaven, not on the things on the earth or things in this world. The former things are forever, but the latter things are passing away or are corruptible. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, cross reference. Then verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Law makes us know sin. More law given, more sin is known. Whoever believes the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, is saved through the faith by God's grace. So either more sinner or less sinner is in a position of the faith, positionally saved by the grace. Both sinners have been equally saved by God's grace through each faith. Therefore, more sin abounded, more grace abounded. But you cannot continue in sin for more grace, because you died in sin, but the Spirit of Christ lives in you. No longer you live. So your life is hidden with Christ in God. Over still left the flesh desire in the body in which you live on the earth. You reckon or count yourself, or you still left the flesh desire to be dead even to sin. Yourself, or you still left the flesh desire to be dead even to sin. That is the Spirit in you convict you of a sin. God the Spirit, Christ, sanctified you more like the image of Jesus. So watch and pray, because the Spirit in you is willing, but the flesh body in you is weak to flesh desire. Cross reference right there. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. When Christ lives in us, or Christ appears in our life, we shall be glorified in the Father's house when Jesus appears again, either physical death or rapture. 5-7, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, of fornication, cleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Therefore, mortify flesh desires in your members over many parts of physical body, such as fornication, moral uncleanness, strong flesh desire, evil desire, covetousness equal to idolatry, loving something more than or equal to God. These things are subject to the wrath of God, or the punishment of evil by God against the disobedient children who were once you before you become Christians. 8-9, but now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now you put off the old man, or mortify all these flesh desires, such as anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, dirty jokes. Do not lie, neither white lie, nor a lie for business profit, because Christ in you has mortified your old life, either talk or deed, as well as Christ in you, is impossible to lie. The cross reference right here. Then verse 10, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Put on the new man, or conform you in the knowledge of God, the word of God, after the image of Jesus, the Creator, by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit led life for the new man, rather than the flesh led life for the old man. Word ministers owe the Lord the duty to edify his share to the body of Christ. Also let you who suffer after God's will commit or fully entrust their souls to the Lord who strengthens you. To the good as to the Lord, the faithful creature, not to man. Cross reference right here, verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. God has no partiality or favoritism in verse 25 in terms of the outward appearance, such as race, physical appearance, fluent speech, nationality, or social status. There is neither classification. The middle world separation. Their things are flesh matter, but the substance is Christ, who is all in all. Verse 12 up to 14. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, but on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is a bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. You are chosen by God, you are set apart from the world, and beloved by God. All the characters are the attributes of agape love, the fruit of the Spirit, soft mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, mutual patience, mutual forgiving. If a mutual quarrel is, because realizing God's forgiveness can help you forgive others, but all the characters should be bound together by agape love, the fruit of the Spirit, not the work of the flesh. Verse 15, let the peace of God rule. God's peace is an attribute of agape love, the fruit of the Spirit, that when the Spirit rules you or your heart, God's peace controls you despite your suffering to God's will or calamity circumstances. So to let your heart be ruled by the Spirit is to let your heart be ruled by the peace of God. And above all, be thankful because God has called us to be parts of the body of Christ, His kingdom. Close reference right here, Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. 16 question 2. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Let God's word live in you abundantly into all understood words, which are applicable to situations. In singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Songs can express our love, our thanksgiving, the greatness of God and wonders of God. And so singing is a beautiful way to pray to God with melody and to learn the scripture and to exhort one another. In singing songs with melody, the words of God unconsciously will begin to come into your mind, and it's a great way to worship the Lord that our daily lives can manifest the worship, such as always thanks for all things to God, holy fear of God, mutual joyful service, and so on. The cross reference right here, Ephesians 5:19. Then verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you talk, write, or conduct, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is, do it for God without murmuring. Also give thanks to God always for everything and in everything. 18 up to 25, Paul taught what Christians are at home and at working place. It's similar teaching to Ephesians chapter 5, 22 up to 6 to 9. 18, wives, submit to your own husbands as is a fitting in the Lord. It's a fit, suitable, or necessary in the Lord the Creator. For wives submitted to your husbands, just as the church is subject to Christ. It is a married couple, a wife owns her husband, while husband owns his wife. Both are mutual servants, not mutual masters. That's a closer reference right there. Verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Husbands, love your wives as Jesus gave his life for the church against bitterness, bitter remarks, or bitter retorts. Verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. Children, obey parents in all things in the Lord. For this is right, because the Lord is well pleased. If so, you may be well and may live long on the earth. Obviously, because no parent naturally is never, you know, the children not well or is short-lived, so not that way. 21, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Fathers, do not provoke your children, not discourage them, but train and exhort them in the Lord. Don't make unreasonable demand on them who would be frustrated, provoked, or angered. 22, bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as a man pleases, but in sincerity of a heart, the fearing God. Slave-master relationship was in the Old Testament time. Onesimus, the slave, and Philemon, the master, that's example. But today, employee-employer relationship is at the working place. Employees should work sincerely before God without pretending, according to the flesh or the employment contract in the world. 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to man. Whatever you do, do it heartily without complaining or murmuring as to the Lord, not to man. It can be applied to not only employees, but employers, because the Lord Jesus Christ also is the Lord of the employers. 24 question 3. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. because you will receive the rewards to your heartily doing, in verse 23, from the Lord Jesus Christ at the kingdom of heaven. It can be applied to the masters or employer, whether he is a slave or free, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8. Verse 25, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Since the master of masters or employers is Jesus Christ, masters, employers should be heartily as to the Lord, not to man, verse 23. So be impartial, equal, fair, or just to slaves, employees. Don't threaten them or wrong to them. If so, you will be punished from their master, Jesus Christ in heaven. When we stand before God, we all, either employer or employee, stand on the same level. So we covered all three questions right here, and the next page, European Union mission. So basically this one, so at the end of September in this year, we go to EU mission tour and evangelism as well. So keep on praying for them. Calvary and Anaheim Hills missions, whenever we have a Lord leads, you know, we are the active, obedient followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, venturing out in faith, deliverer of the words of God. So word of ministries, basically I am the delivery man of the words of God as the pastor and teacher ordained by God. Here, pray for Philippine ministry for pastoral training of Asian ministry at Dumaguete Islands right here. That is keep on praying for them. His the minister name is I forgot, you know, his name is he went there, he served there. So that one, pray for the feeding people from starvation, sickness, particularly this example, South Sudan. Pray for abandoned children in Ukraine. And his increase, God's increase. So this is a feed up, you know, the war of victims and so on. Pray for the rescue from Afghanistan and Ukraine and his glory, God's glory. That's yes, the pictures right there. So this is the Q&A question, open question about Calvary Chapel and Anaheim Hills.